broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Matt Sorensen and Mark Kohler. Excited to be with you today. You know, it's the season of giving this time of year. It's maybe you're out shopping, you're doing all these great things, you're spending time with your family, maybe a little traveling. I really love this time of year. And let's not forget, it's also a season to be
the
shopping.
Family fighting?
No.
Sorry, I thought you were going to bring up the family fights. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Healthcare, Mark. Healthcare.
Healthcare. Yeah.
You're shopping for health insurance right now. Like, of all the things you want to be doing this time of year, our government created this new healthcare reform system where we shop for insurance in December. That makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah. I like it. You were talking about all the good things of the holidays. I'm like, you weren't bringing up all the bickering and fighting and trying to play family games. And no, I love my family. I'm not saying that's our. But I, all of you out there relate to that. You know, this is, you're in close quarters, right? You're in close quarters. So intensity can increase. But yeah, no, this show today is about healthcare. If you've seen the announcement, we're excited to be here. If you're a new listener, this is a tax tip, legal tips, you know, some questions. And then we're into a very powerful topic. This is important before you're in. So
yeah,
shopping for healthcare.
Yeah.
Why now, shop for presents? Shop for insurance.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot to say about it, obviously, and we're going to try and avoid the politics of the topic as best we can. We might get tangled up in it. You never know. But really important. This has become one of the major expenses of Americans. It's something you need to have. The law forces you to have it. So you've got to stay tuned to it. But it's also a great tax planning opportunity if you do it right. So we want to talk about that. Make sure you're informed so you can be making the best decisions for your situation.
Okay. Now, Matt, this is not my official tax tip, but okay, since it's the holiday season, I'm going to throw out a holiday.
This is a bonus, tip. A bonus tax tip.
This is a bonus.
Okay.
Bonus right here. Okay. So now, for some may know, we've got several offices for our law and accounting firm. We help clients all over the country, from Hawaii to Florida to New Hampshire to Southern California, all four corners. We're there for you. But we've got a little office in Idaho, a little office in Utah, Phoenix, California. We're around, you know. But again, a little Skype phone call, it's easy schmeasy. Anyway, so I'm kind of commandeering the Idaho office this year and trying to slow down on weekends and nights and still running 100 miles an hour during the day. But it's been nice in this little small Main Street America town of Southern Idaho. So Matt, you may not know this, but you're allowed in this area. This is a big deal for me because I've been down in Southern California where, I mean, it's, you can't touch any plants or animals. You know, it's very environmentally friendly down there in California. So up here, I can go cut down a Christmas tree. I can just go cut one down.
Yeah.
All I have to do, I stop at the grocery store and I can get a $15 permit to cut down a Christmas tree. It's kind of big for me. I've never done this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Dylan and I, so this, I'm going to, we need a Christmas tree in our office here. So Matt, I'm going to use the business card. I'm going to go pay for this Christmas tree for $15. I'm going to take a business mileage deduction. We're going to drive into the mountain, cut down this tree, pick up, you know, a few lights at Walmart on the way back, and head back. And I'm going to take a business write-off for this Christmas tree. I'm going to put on a hockey mask at the end of the process and trim the tree in the driveway.
Yeah.
And
the neighbors will love that. The neighbors will love it.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you going to put that, Clark? Come over here. Bend over and I'll show you.
I don't know, Margo.
Yeah, I know. Dude, Matt, I'm going to seriously, this morning I had a consult. I'm not kidding. Had a consult with a client out of Hawaii. She listens to the show, so I'm going to give her a shout out. Her name is Margo. Yeah. Her name is Margo. And I was like,
the first question she asked you, what was your response?
I said, I don't know, Margo.
Oh, I bet she loved that.
She was fun and games. She knows my temperament. She was like, her husband was on the show and her husband was on the call. And I was like, every time your wife asks you a question, you don't know the answer. Do you say, I don't know, Margo? And he's like, no, but I'm going to start doing that. She's like, oh, you guys are terrible. But anyway, so our tax and legal consultations are fun. But anyway,
now on that tree, that keep in mind, make sure you call it a holiday tree. Okay. We don't want to offend anyone or violate any office policies. If you're bringing it to the office. Okay. It's a holiday tree.
Oh, okay. I'll work on that. I'll put that note under the tree. well, anyway, little shout out for our Christmas vacation fans. Hopefully you appreciated that. But I'm going to take a little tax write-off, Matt.
I like the bonus tax tip. Well, let's jump into our tips here. We got a lot to cover today, and we're just excited to be talking to you and sharing these strategies. So I'm going to give you a legal tip now.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, this legal tip comes from a consult we had in our office with a client. And it's an important lesson, one that may seem obvious, but you'd be surprised at how many people can fall victim to this problem. So, client invested $40,000 with another person and was told, the documents are on their way. The documents are coming. You'll get them shortly. Now, if you hear that expression or that promise, then you should say, well, then the money will be on its way too. It's not going yet.
Good answer.
Once I get it, the money will be on its way. So don't put the cart before the horse, so to speak here. You've got to make sure you're doing this in sequence, because what's happened in this scenario is what can happen many times. The documents don't arrive.
Or they don't look like what you want them to look like.
Right. And then what negotiation power do you have then? None. They have your money. You don't hold it anymore. So there's a lot of problems with that, obviously, not getting any documents ever, losing any ability to negotiate, or even just, you know, this might, by the time you get the documents, it might not have been something you wanted to actually invest, because when you see it in paper versus verbally explained to you, it might be totally different. So make sure you're reviewing the documents, getting an opinion, seeking a lawyer where there's situations you have questions or you're not familiar with before you let that money leave your hands. Unless it was really just a Christmas gift, you know, but,
let me throw this out.
40,000 is pretty steep though.
Yeah. And so many people we talk to go, oh, well, I'd never do that. But they don't think that who it happens to. Most oftentimes it's called affinity fraud. It happens with a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a church member, a professional consultant, and someone that you trust. So you don't put this extra radar up because you're like, oh, well, I'd never give someone $40,000 without documents, but they're my friend. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, we're talking about this rule, this procedure, in fact, with those type of people. That's when you need it the most. It's called affinity fraud. It happens every day in America. Someone that knows someone takes advantage of it. Go, oh, you don't trust me? You need to call your lawyer? You don't trust me? I'm offended. Well, I'm offended you'd ask for $40,000 without paperwork. So,
exactly.
Screw you.
I like that. I like how you like switch that around there. That was good.
Thank you. Oh, man. Okay. Well, great legal tip, Matt.
Thank you.
Glad you brought that up.
Thank you, sir.
Well, let's hit a tax tip that doesn't involve a Christmas tree.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay, well, this tax tip is a very important one because this is before the end of 2016, and it's actually a tax deduction that is, unless it gets extended again, it is expires. And that is the tuition type deduction or college expense deduction. It's under the PATH Act, and there's two options. There's the American Opportunity Tax Credit that is potentially available for undergraduate students, which remains at $2,500, and then the Lifetime Learning Credit, which is $2,000 per household, no matter for undergrad or graduate school. Now, this can be a deduction that you take these tax credits in 2016, but you have to pay for that education before December 31st. Now, if you've already paid for a lot of education this year for your kids or yourself, you probably have already maxed out and you're going to get your credit. But if you've got a new college student going to college this fall and you anticipate some additional expenses in January, obviously, you might want to prepay some of those before December 31st. Have your accountant run the numbers. If you have not maxed out those credits yet, because it's based on a percentage of what you paid in college expenses. So it's not like a dollar for dollar situation. So you'd want to, many of you could go to Google and just look up these PATH Act college expenses and look at what the percentages and the numbers are. And you might be able to run the math yourself or talk to your accountant. But let me repeat those. That's the American Opportunity Tax Credit and also the Lifetime Learning Credit, due to expire at the end of 2016 unless extended by Congress this coming year. So a little tax tip that might be important for some of you parents out there with college-age kids.
God, my daughter's going to college next year. I got to figure all this stuff out. Love that. Tuning in.
Yeah, buckle up.
Yeah. Well, I got a follow-up question for you, if you don't mind, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Is there phase-outs on that, income phase-outs on those credits?
Yes, I believe so. And okay. I don't have that detail in front of me. I apologize. I get little tax notices as a tax professional, and this is one that came across my screen this morning, and I thought, oh, I got to share this on the show. I could have pulled the law on it and detail. I should have. But again, you know, people check into it. If you have college age students, this is an important tip. Now, I'm going to throw this out. What's cool is, Matt, I can still pay my kids under a 1099. So I have three college age students. So I can pay them a 1099, take a tax deduction in my business for them being a subcontractor in my business, and they can pay for their own college expense.
Right.
But I get the tax credit because they're a dependent of mine. So I still get the tax credit, even though I 1099'd them to pay it. So I'm getting a tax deduction to pay college expenses and a tax credit because my kid paid it. Boom.
Hey, now you just drove runs home, baby. You just hit those runs in. They're round and third, and they're hitting home now. Nice.
Yeah, someone's brain just exploded. What did he just say? Yeah, well, talk to your accountant. You know, call our office. Get a consult. Very important.
All right. Awesome. Well, we've got question of the week. Now, question of the week is an opportunity for you to win a free copy of mine or Mark's book, The Tax and Legal Playbook, or my book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. Both bestsellers, both 5 stars on Amazon. You'll love both of them. We pose a question each week. And Mark, you had the question from last week. This is also I think it was charitable related as well.
Yes, in the spirit of giving. So here was the question, and we did have a winner. I'm in the sound booth right now, and I don't have my Gmail up with my email. So we'll be sending out and contacting that winner via email. I apologize. We should give them some kudos online. I apologize. Today we were unable to. It's a busy time of year, folks. This is – in fact, Matt and I got on the show today and said, oh, my gosh, every year gets worse. It's just so busy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to get their year-end planning in, tax and legal. We're grateful for you, the clients that call up, but this is just nuts. So anyway, we're shooting from the hip today on our winner for the show and the question. But the question last week was, if you go to a charitable event during the holidays, let's say, and the ticket price for this charitable dinner is $100, and you would say, great, I get to deduct $100. I paid for this. I paid a charity. Well, folks, there was a dinner involved. And on your receipt, they had in fine print at the bottom that the value of the dinner was $40. So the question of the week was, do you get a deduction for $100 or $60 or $40? What's your deduction when you pay for a dinner charitable ticket for $100? What do you have to deal with when it comes to the value of the dinner? That was the question. We did have a winner. I apologize. I'm not giving them some love here on the show today. But the answer was, for all of those that are anxious to hear, the answer is your deduction is actually only $60. You have to take into account the value of the food at the dinner. This is similar to going to a silent auction and buying some sort of painting for a dollar amount. You get to deduct your contribution less the cost of the painting or less the cost of the meal. This is a typical issue when it comes to charitable donations. So, folks, if you're going to one of those dinners this holiday season, make sure you understand on the receipt what they are calculating is the value of the meal. Take that off your dinner ticket, and then that remaining amount is your charitable deduction. And again, a great opportunity this time of year to make some of those charitable contributions, load up the car, take a load down to Salvation Army or Goodwill, Desert Industries, and take a deduction for some donated items as well before December 31st.
Mm. All right, good. Now, I've got the question of the week for this week, and I don't mean to stay on this charitable theme, but this is a good year-end planning question that relates to charitable giving. Question of the week for this week is, for those IRA owners, can I make a distribution from my IRA to a charity and avoid paying tax on the distribution from my IRA? This is true or false. I'm making it easy for you. Can I take money from my IRA as a distribution, send it directly to a charity, and avoid paying tax or penalty on the distribution? You can write in to Matt, M-A-T, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at kqslawyers.com with your answer. We will try to announce your name so you can, you know, live in fame on the show. Or if you don't want to, just let us know in the email. You know, give us a fake name too. We're happy to do that. We'll get the answer to you next week. So this is a good time of year to be thinking about that topic. Charitable giving is one thing where it's always one of the bigger deductions on people's returns for everyday Americans, and it's a great thing. A lot of charities do a lot of important work, or churches and these areas that you can give, but you do need to do it before December 31st. So write in with your answer to the question of the week, and we'll announce the winner next week.
I love it. Matt, excellent question. I actually think that's a fantastic question. And my tip next week on my final blog article of the year with my top 10 tax tips is regarding IRAs and chunking and Roths. So we'll Sweet. Probably discuss that a little bit next week too. So good stuff. All right. Well, Matt, we got to jump into this topic of the day. If I can introduce this, Matt, would that be all right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the healthcare topic. I've kind of branded the strategy Kohler Care. Screw Obamacare. Go with Kohler Care. Save some money. And I've got 9 tips of how to save money and get better healthcare. And that's saving money with premium costs, saving money with healthcare, saving taxes, all the above. And I call that Kohler Care. Now, it's a chapter in my newest book, Tax and Legal Playbook. I've got a whole host of videos of these strategies on my tax and legal library on my website. So I'm trying to get a lot of information out there. But in a show like today, when we only have limited time, we chose to hit 4 topics. Now, these are 4 topics that are timely in nature. We've got some timing issues. And they are all something that I think everyone listening to the show can learn from and receive a benefit. So those 4 topics, what we're going to hit today, and these all are very, very powerful, is choosing the right health insurance, because it's enrollment period, folks. It, like Matt said at the very beginning of the show, it's shopping time. next would be deducting your health insurance. Can you deduct your premiums? Well, I'm not talking about copays, deductibles, and yada, yada, just deducting your health insurance. Number 3, we're going to talk about health savings accounts, which we love. And I'm going to, on a political note, mention that Donald Trump has said that he wants the HSA to be a integral part of any healthcare plan that he proposes when modifying Obamacare. So he's sold on them. He loves them. I had a conversation with a U.S. senator on the HSA. We're trying to get this word out. This is very, very important. So I think all of you want to hear some updates on that. And then number 4, we're going to talk about the health reimbursement arrangement, which literally the Senate is passing a bill, H.R. 34, from the House on a new health reimbursement bill for small business owners. And that's coming out this week. So these are very cutting edge topics mm-hmm. affecting you, the listener. So we're going to hit those four things: health insurance, deducting health insurance, HSAs and HRAs. And we're going to, you know, this is a very short show, so we won't be able to do any of those true justice, but we want to expose you to the topic and you can do some additional research on your own. I think it's good stuff.
All right. Well, that's a great roadmap of where we're trying to go. Now, let me just set the stage here for where we're sitting now. We have the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, you know, whatever you do want to call it. And keep in mind, there are some key dates you need to know about. And I'm just going to rattle off a few things that relate to health insurance, because like I said before, 'tis the season to be buying health insurance right now. So the first date we've got upcoming right now, because we are in what's called open enrollment right now. That started November 1st. December 15th, that is the last day to enroll or change your plan to have coverage start effective January 1st, 2017. So if you're looking, you may have an existing plan right now. And if you're looking to have new coverage in 2017 that would be effective January 1st, you've got to enroll or make a change to the plan by December 15th, 2016. So beyondhealthcare.gov, that's where you can go and shop. Some states have different forms. You'll get redirected to those if you're in one of those states. But everybody can go to healthcare.gov to start shopping. You have until December 15th to get new coverage to start Jan 1, 2017. That's the first deadline to be thinking about right now.
Love it.
Now, the other deadline to think about is January 31st. That's the last day you have to actually enroll in a plan. So if you don't get your crap together by December 15th, but maybe you get it together by the end of the year, you could probably get a plan in place by January 31st and still avoid the penalty for not having health insurance. So January 31st is the drop dead date. Now, if you wait till January 30th, though, to try and get coverage on January 31st, you haven't done anything, you're not going to get coverage on January 31st. Yeah. It's going to take time, so you're going to be behind the ball. So you really got to be moving and thinking about this now. That's why we're trying to get this show out to you right now, despite some of the uncertainties we have with some of these laws and bills and Trump and the new Senate and House bill coming through.
Yeah, and on this note, choosing the right health insurance, some of you are like, well, I enrolled for my insurance with my employer 6 months ago. Why do I need to worry about this? Now, keep in mind, folks, our show is generally tailored to the small business owner. And many of you have day jobs and a small business on the side, which we're a huge fan. But if you have coverage under an employer, you or your spouse or as a family, and their enrollment date is some other time during the year than right now, you're fine. Don't worry about it. If you've got health insurance coverage through your employer and they may have enrollment periods that are very, very different timing wise, that's fine. But if you're an entrepreneur, if you're on your own flying solo as a sole proprietorship or an S corporation, LLC, whatever it is, this is the time that everybody else shops for insurance. And this is when we need you to think about it. So that's that enrollment period factor. So don't stress out if you've already got your insurance covered somewhere else.
Okay, now I just want to throw this out. I know you've got your Kohler Care, you know, and that's a big topic.
No, hey, yeah, we're all here together.
This is going to be my Sorensen Care plan. This is what I'm considering for 2017. I'm going to roll this out today live on the show. I'm excited.
Well, I wanted to hear this too, because I know Arizona is a pain in the butt.
Okay, let me tell you what happened to us last year. So I got an individual plan last year. I got a gold plan with United Healthcare. It's about $1,100. It was a great plan. Loved it. Well, United Healthcare is leaving Arizona. There was about 7 health insurance companies last year in Arizona offering plans. Now there is one.
Oh, my gosh.
And how great do you think their pricing is? A similar plan to what I have this year, next year, under the only company left, is $2,200. I paid $2,200 for a gold plan.
Oh, my word.
A silver plan is about like $1,800. So it's very expensive. It's been a big problem in Arizona in particular. We got one of the biggest rate increases in the country. We're not alone. There's other states that have had this issue in other areas. So here's what I'm likely doing and what I may be doing here for 2017. I'm pretty close to pulling the trigger. This is Sorensen Care for you. I'm saying, screw it. I'm not getting an Obamacare compliant policy. I'm going to pay the max penalty for 2017. And I'm going to get what are called short-term healthcare insurance policies. Now, these are policies that you can only get for up to 364 days. They do not qualify under Obamacare. They do not provide coverage for pre-existing conditions, and they do not have maternity coverage. Now, you could get some that have maternity coverage, but I'm getting one that doesn't because it's a bargain. Now, for me, it's a great deal. I'm not having any more kids. We don't need maternity coverage. We don't have any pre-existing conditions. So I can get this plan that's way more tailored for me at a bargain, about $600 for family coverage at basically silver type policy, what you have on the Obamacare, on an Obamacare policy. I'm going to save, over $1,000 a month on this plan, and I'm just going to suck it up and pay the max penalty under Obamacare, which is for a family about $2,200, I believe, for 2017. So now you may be in this boat, and who knows what's going to happen with Obamacare. But right now, for me and maybe a lot of other people, and I've seen this being marketed very heavily, Blue Cross and Blue Shield in particular, which does have some great plans, is out there marketing this pretty heavily, particularly in Arizona, to say, hey, just go get a short-term plan. If you don't want to go buy the one-option plan, go get the short-term plan. They're very clear that it doesn't you will have a penalty and it doesn't comply with Obamacare. But it can be a good fit for people who don't have pre-existing conditions and are willing to pay the penalty. So,
I love it. Now, Matt, I'm going to throw out another one as we get creative here. And I had a call with a client yesterday using this strategy. And I've tried to talk my wife into it. We're considering it as an option. My premium with an individual plan over here in Idaho right now was also faced a terrible increase, over 15% increase in premiums. I'm now looking at close to $1,800. It's between $1,600 and $1,800. It's over on my desk across the way. Okay, I don't have it handy. But I think it's about $1,700, I'll say, per month. For insurance. Mm-hmm. And so what I was talking to my wife about doing was, let's add up our premiums for last year, which, oh my gosh, we're pushing close to $20,000 in premiums. So why don't we take that $20,000, put it in the bank, and go with a healthcare sharing ministry? Now, this is another option out there across the country. Now, the healthcare sharing ministry, you don't have to be a member of these person's church or whatever, but you can join a healthcare sharing ministry where you pay in like a premium to a group and you get reimbursed for your medical expenses. I've had a client back east that I was talking to yesterday about it that had a very positive experience with the healthcare sharing ministry. Premiums in that $500 to $600 range that Matt, you're talking about. But, sometimes I question how much are they going to cover? And so if I can take that premium that I'm paying right now to a Blue Cross Blue Shield and put it in the bank, get the healthcare sharing ministry for potentially a catastrophic type experience, and take that savings, maybe even fund a health savings account, then I've got an option. That's a great one. Now, however, I do need to say, if you go to the healthcare sharing ministry option, I should have said, you cannot do an HSA because a healthcare sharing ministry, you avoid the penalty. But you're not allowed to contribute to an HSA. So anyway, I just wanted to throw out, Matt, I love that Sorensen Care, great idea. Don't forget healthcare sharing ministries and be creative. I think that's a great theme, Matt. That's really what you're saying.
Yeah. And I mean, most people are really just going to go, if you're self-employed or, you have to shop for yourself, most people are going to be able to find a plan on the market. But if you've hit these roadblocks and these cost concerns, think of these other two things we're bringing up here. Think of ways you could maybe get a company plan as well. If you have a business, you usually have to have at least two participants who are employees to do a company plan. So sometimes it may even make sense to add someone as an employee, get them on payroll just for the fact of, maybe it's someone that does some contract or work on the side for you. Maybe add them to payroll just so you guys could get health insurance. It might benefit them too and be a better deal for them, particularly if they're in the same state you are that has a really high rate.
Well, one last point on this, choosing the right health insurance. So that was our topic one today that we want to just share some insights. So I love what Matt's thinking, talking about with these short-term healthcare policies. Don't forget about healthcare sharing ministries. And our general position is that we tell clients is, if you're healthy, go with a high deductible plan. Whether you're using an independent broker or going on the exchange, look for a high deductible plan that qualifies for an HSA, which we're going to come up here, talk about later. But when you're choosing your insurance, if you don't get the right type of insurance, you can't do an HSA. So you have to have these HSA qualifying type plans. Now, our position is if you're generally healthy and you don't use your insurance a lot, go with a higher deductible and self-insure yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what the Trump political camp is trying to emphasize, is that we need to empower more people to insure themselves rather than relying on the insurance company or relying on the government. And so these are like these supercharged IRAs for healthcare, which we'll talk about in a moment. Now, if you're unhealthy, think about HMOs, PPOs. Have one of these plans where the copays are low and you're paying maybe a little bit more in premiums, but you know you're going to use the plan. Like Matt was saying, hey, we're not going to have any kids. We don't have pre-existing conditions. We're pretty healthy people. So Matt can be a little more aggressive without a juice it up, cover everything type plan. Just in case there's a car accident or someone gets cancer, he's got coverage. But for some of you out there, you don't want to go with an HSA qualifying plan because you want to stick it to the insurance company because you know you're going to use it. So that's where I think some of these HMO type plans can be a little more strategic for the unhealthy.
All right. Well, should we hit HSA? We've hit buzzed that word a few times already.
Okay. Yeah, let's buzz over. Let's do a flyby over there and let's head back. We'll come back to deducting your health insurance here in a moment then.
Yeah, this is Maverick requesting a flyby.
Denied.
All right. One of the greatest moments of Mark Kohler and I's time together is flying in a plane, where Mark was flying the plane. We did have another pilot in there. You know, Mark was a student pilot. I was in the back seat. We were on the headphones goofing off on Maverick and Goose stuff. It was pretty dang fun. But anyways.
We did decide from a strategic financial planning standpoint for our firm that we can never do that again.
Yeah.
Wives have said you're not allowed to be in a small plane together ever again.
Especially when Mark is co-pilot.
Yeah, especially when Mark's working on his pilot's license. Not a good idea. All of our employees were like, well, there went my job.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Let me just introduce HSAs because it's a very widely used. Many of you may use it. If you don't, though, it's important to consider. And I think as the cost of health insurance has gone up, a lot more people are getting high deductible health insurance plans, whether they wanted it or not. It's just all they can afford is a high deductible health insurance plan. And those are the type of plans that allow you to establish an HSA, a health savings account. Now, why is a health savings account cool? Because I get to put money in it and I get a tax deduction when I put the money in it. And then I use the account to pay for my medical expenses. This could be dental expenses. This could be prescription expenses. This could be your copays. This could be your share of the doctor bill. So that account can be used for certain qualifying medical expenses. And there's many different ways that people use it. You can even invest that money. You could self-direct it, buy real estate like Mark's done with his HSA. Or you could just put money into the HSA when you know you need to spend it. That's a lot. Essentially what we've done over the years is if I've got a big bill coming up, I got to pay my kids braces or whatever, I'll drop $1,000 in there or whatever. I'm getting that deduction. Then we spend it right back out to pay the doctor, dentist, whatever it may be. So it's probably the easiest way to get deductions for these medical expenses that otherwise you're not getting, you know, you're not getting any tax break on unless you like have major medical issues and you can itemize on your tax return. So that's in basic the HSA and how it works. Very powerful, commonly used tool, easy to set up too. Most banks, credit unions even have them.
Yeah, I love it. Great summary, Matt. And I like some of the keywords Matt used. Let me throw out a few nuances. Now, let's talk about some nuances of the HSA that could be some wonderful takeaways for you, the listener, today. Is first, keep in mind that the HSA is not a part of the insurance. You don't go to your insurance company for your HSA. You get the right type of insurance, then you go open the HSA somewhere else. And I have clients all the time call up and go, well, I went to my employer and said, I want an HSA. And they go, we don't do HSAs. No. You go to your employer and say, can I get an HSA qualifying insurance option? And then the employer goes, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll give you that type of insurance. And you can go set up your own HSA somewhere else. So keep in mind the insurance and the HSA plan are separate. Next, I like the keywords that Matt was using there. And I sometimes summarize it this way, folks. Remember, an HSA is like an IRA for healthcare. That's sometimes been the best way to think of it. It's not a use it, you lose it plan. It's beautiful. You can carry it forward from year to year, and you can do them at any age. Up to age 65. Once you're on Medicare, the government says, oh, you get this wonderful thing called Medicare, so you can't make new contributions. But you can have an HSA past age 65, something that you created earlier, and you can continue to invest it, but you can't put new contributions in it. You can contribute to them at any income level and contribute to them up to age 65, and then anybody can maintain an HSA beyond that. Mm-hmm. Matt, another nuance maybe?
Yeah, now here's the amounts that you can put in each year, the contribution limit for 2016. For a family, so you got more than one here, family, $6,750. You can put $6,750 in. It's a tax deduction. It comes off on page one of your tax return. Whether you're high income or not, you're still going to get this deduction. There's not phase outs on it. Mark can correct me if I'm wrong here. And then
I don't know, Margo.
What's the guy's name? Todd.
You're right.
Todd. That's his name.
Todd.
God, anyways. What the heck is this, Todd?
Why is there water on the hi-fi, Todd?
Oh, Todd. All right. So the individual, if you're just an individual, the HSA contribution limit is $3,350. Now, as Mark said, you get this tax deduction the year you put it in, regardless of whether you spend it. So you could spend it that year, or it could stay in there. It's not use it or lose it. And you still get the deduction that year. And the money comes out tax-free when you use it to pay for your medical.
Yeah, I love it. Now, final point on this, I think, and then we'll move to our other two points, is the HSA contribution for 2016 can be made up until April 15th of 2017. But you have had to have had a high deductible plan in place in 2016. You didn't have to open your HSA in 2016. You didn't have to put the money in 2016. But you had to have a high deductible plan in place before December 1st. We highlighted this in our newsletter. Another reason, people, you need to be opening our newsletter every week just to see what the topics are, to see if something affects you. But if you want to have a deduction in 2017, this is why we said at the beginning of the show, choose the right insurance now. Mm. Choose wisely, my friend. Get the right type of high deductible plan now so that next year in 2017, you're good to go.
I like that. Good to go. Well, that's HSAs, guys, and there's a lot more that could be said about it. Investing it. As I said, you can even self-direct your HSA. And I've seen clients that have really built those up over the years, and they're planning on using it in the long term in retirement too, to cover a lot of those expenses that medical that can really stack up over the years. So they're maxing out the contributions now, even though they may not need that money to pay for healthcare now. To have a little kitty, so to speak, for medical costs that we know are going to come up and be more prevalent as we get later in life.
Yeah. Now, just a couple ironies. A couple ironies is that I've taken my HSA, opened an LLC in Illinois, and bought a cute little meth lab right inside that LLC.
Yeah, that's qualifying medical expense.
Yeah. That's right. And no, it's a great little rental. I've had it for many of you that have been to a workshop of mine or heard me talk about this. I joke about that rental. It's been fantastic. And it cash flows to the LLC owned by my HSA. So my HSA is now invested in real estate rather than some stupid mutual fund at Wells Fargo for 1%. And I've taken the cash out of that HSA to pay for Molly's braces. Now, so my irony there. Also, you could take your HSA and invest it in a marijuana dispensary that would produce cash flow to pay for your health care. I call that ironic. Just saying.
A little too ironic.
I know. I know. It's deep. It's deep. But the beauty is you can invest your HSA. And you guys know that we're huge advocates of self-directing. You'll have to listen to some of those other shows and continue your research on that.
All right. Well, Matt, let's hit the health reimbursement arrangement, the HRA. This is something I know, Mark, you talk about a lot. And this is for those that have bigger medical expenses. I mean, if you're getting more in out-of-pocket medical than the $6,750, you know, that you can throw into an HSA every year and get a deduction, and you're putting more out of pocket, you may want to consider doing an HRA. It's an ability that there's no cap on the amount of the HRA, but there are some conditions on how it works, Mark. And I'm kind of passing the baton to you to explain the HRA.
Thank you.
Otherwise, you'll just correct me because I'll mess something up.
No. This is a tough topic. Let me first say this as we compare for a moment the difference between an HSA and HRA. Sometimes that's an easy way of introducing an HRA. An HSA is an actual account that grows and you can invest. An HRA is not an account. It does not grow. It's not a use it or lose it plan. It's a reimbursement arrangement. Your employee turns in their receipts at the end of the year to get reimbursed for their health care. Now, that may be you or one of your family members, maybe your spouse, that you're reimbursing to cover their dependents, which includes you. But it's a reimbursement arrangement. Next, an HSA can be used by anybody. All you have to have is a high deductible plan. You don't even have to have a small business. You just have to have a high deductible plan and you're good to go. You may be even provided by your employer, the plan. But the HSA can be set up at a bank anywhere you want or self-directed with a custodian. An HRA must be set up by a small business owner. If you don't have a small business, you can't do an HRA. It's for business owners. So that's some of the key differences between an HRA and an HSA. The HRA is a plan. It's a plan document. We set them up for clients for around $300, very affordable. We do a half-hour consult with you, walk you through the process, give you a cover letter of what you need to do throughout the year. This is a great time of year to adopt an HRA to have it effective January 1st for 2017. And basically, your business is structured to reimburse your spouse or yourself through the right type of entity to provide HRA reimbursement. Now, this is for the copays, the deductibles, the eyes, the dental, the chiropractic, the drug rehab, whatever the case may be for you and your family. Let's get the HRA doing a reimbursement throughout the year of 2017. But if you don't adopt it on January 1st, you can't do it. So if you expect to have higher than average medical next year, and you can have an HSA and an HRA, if you want to let the money ride in your HSA and do an outside HRA inside your business and still contribute to an HSA, you can do both. So get your plan together now for the new year. The HRA is very, very powerful. Matt, I'll just say two more words. Mm-hmm. If you're single, we're going to involve a separate corporate structure to hire you, because in an S corporation, an HRA is something you cannot do unless this new bill allows for it. We're waiting to see what this finally looks like, if it's approved in the government right now. Mm-hmm. But an HRA cannot be used in an S corporation for its owner. We set up a separate corporation to hire you. Now, if you have a lot of medical, it's worth the cost. You're going to just run the numbers. If you're married, it's actually even easier to implement, because we use the little family management company that may be hiring the kids to also hire your spouse and provide an HRA. No W-2 required, no 1099 required. It's a really cool plan. Mm-hmm. It's been been solidified through several cases in tax court. We give you a cover letter that explains that and stand behind it. But that's the HRA. Matt, anything you'd add?
No, I love it. It's really the one solution for those that do have high medical. And if you're self-employed, you do have a way to write off those expenses. So it can really save clients thousands if you're in a high medical expense situation. It's a really important topic for those in that specific situation.
You know, and I want to just say this for all of you out there that might call your accountant about an HSA and they go, oh, yeah, they're blah, blah, blah. They're not that good and you shouldn't do it. Or you call up, you go, I'm thinking about an HRA. Oh, yeah, you don't qualify. You're an S corp. You're a small business owner. You can't do one. Say, slow down. I thought I heard on Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Fuller, Matt Swanson, that I could do one. Maybe, just maybe, I'm spitballing here. Maybe I should get a second opinion, because guess what? Maybe my accountant doesn't know everything. Now, I'm just a wild idea there, but maybe, folks, your sister-in-law doing your taxes for a spaghetti dinner on TurboTax in the basement is not the best way to do your taxes. Maybe you should get a professional that studies this every day. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Mm-hmm. Get a second opinion, people. if you've got high medical, you would be shocked how many people come into our into a consultation with a tax return with medical expenses that they tried to itemize and were never written off because some accountant didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And it's I know that's shocking, but guess what? Not all contractors, not all plumbers, not all engineers or house builders, and not all accountants know everything. You got to get a second opinion sometime.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a public advertisement brought to you by Mark Kohler, you know, out there protecting the people, you know.
What was the
public service announcement? That's what I was going for. Public service announcement.
I still like it.
All right. Well, we got to talk about how do you deduct your health insurance payments still. So for those of you who are self-employed paying for health insurance payments, many of you may be using an S corporation. There's a couple key things you need to know on making sure you're paying for it properly. And the first thing is just to understand where you should be paying it. Am I paying this for my personal account or am I paying it from my business account? Now, for U.S. corporation owners and those paying for your own insurance through the business, you're going to want to pay from the S corporation business account. That's step one to make sure that it's being treated properly. Have the business pay for it. Pay it from the business account. The other thing to keep in mind in terms of paying to make sure you're able to deduct this is you need to be coordinating your payroll. This is something that also goes on your W-2, which you're going to be doing here in a few weeks. So make sure that whoever's doing your payroll is aware of these payments that you're making, because they may not be. They may be doing other aspects of your payroll and not familiar with the insurance that you're just otherwise paying right out of the business, or maybe it's on an auto deduction or something like that. So so you want to make sure that whoever's doing your payroll and does your W-2 is familiar with that so that it ends up showing up on your W-2.
That's a great point, Matt, and I won't even repeat it. Excellently, you put that out in an excellent manner. It's very clear. I will just add this. Keep in mind, people, that deducting your insurance is different than deducting your healthcare expenses. And that's where all business owners are entitled to write off their health insurance. They just have to do it in the right way, and especially S-Corp owners, because the IRS will disallow the health insurance if you don't do it the right way. So keep in mind, all of you should be deducting your health insurance. And for those Americans out there that don't own a small business and you're paying for your own insurance, guess what? No deduction. Hence why we love our clients to have a small business on the side in order to take advantage of some of these deductions and write-offs. So health insurance is deduction, and then healthcare expenses, the copays, the deductibles, the prescription drugs, the chiropractic, all that jazz is separately written off through an HSA or an HRA. That's it. Don't try to itemize this, people. It's not going to happen. You phase out at 10% of your AGI, and you can only write off your medical above 10% of your AGI. It's ludicrous. 97% of Americans don't get a write-off for their healthcare expenses unless they use an HSA or an HRA.
All right. Well, I've got an exciting announcement, Mark. Yes. We have reached over 100 five-star reviews on iTunes.
Woo!
So
yeah. Nice.
So we love it when you give us five-star reviews on iTunes. It's a great way for other people to find the show. We hope that you find it important. I mean, the topic today is really important. We've had some great shows over the last few weeks that we've just really loved to share with you. So I just want to read one of these most recent reviews, if you'd indulge me.
I will. And thank you, everybody. Thanks for those reviews. They really do mean a lot, and they help.
All right. This is the most recent one from Ophir. Says, awesome podcast, priceless. I'm amazed at how Mark and Matt take a subject that is so dry, law and accounting, and turn it into an enjoyable and informative radio show. I look forward to listening to the podcast every week on iTunes app, and have actually, as an accountant, referred several clients to this show because I sincerely believe they will gain invaluable ideas from the topics discussed. Thank you for putting the show together. I wish you continued success.
What are we going to send Ophir?
I think we got a book going his way already, actually. I think we do, let us know, because we got to send you one. We appreciate you also helping spread the word on the show to some of your clients. And it's always great to get from another professional who knows the topic, works in it, also day in day finding it valuable and informative.
Well, I love it. I was thinking we might even have to do a second show on healthcare because it's such a
Well, all these changes coming down the pipeline. You heard we have a new president too, I'm sure. We may have to have a show at the beginning of the year to kind of reset the stage on where it is. Who knows? It's unfortunate. But still, I want to say this. Don't fail to plan now. You still got to plan now with what the current laws are. Be proactive. Remember the December 15th deadline. That's the next one coming up to make sure you have a coverage effective January 1. Stay calm. And still get your health care on.
Well, I love it. Well, Matt, thank you for those little holiday cheer. And I've got a little list for you and I for Christmas. And I want you to get yourself something real nice. And so,
I appreciate that. Do I just throw it in the cart when I'm checking myself out at the store?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just a little list for you. So we really appreciate it. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening for another week of the Refresher Wealth Show. We'll be back next week, and maybe we'll hit some year-end tax tips. I don't know, something good. I it's gonna change your life. So we'll see everybody next week. Thanks so much, and enjoy the holidays.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.